chapter number 1. Thank you for those that came out yesterday. Yesterday at noon, we had a small prayer meeting just to pray for our country and pray for the things that are going on in our country, pray for the elections, of course, that are coming up, and just pray for all the things that are going on currently. And so thank you for those that came out, and we just kind of I really liked how it worked. We just kind of couldn't decide exactly if we were just going to have 2 or 3 people pray. So I said, look, let's just all take a few moments and we'll pray silently, and then I'll get up and pray. Well, while we were praying silently, people just kind of spontaneously started. You tell me the things that are going on, and so I don't need to watch them. There's a bunch of nonsense going on in our country right now, and with all this rioting and some monuments were defaced last night in Savannah. Last night in Savannah, Forsyth Park. They went in and spray-painted all over some monuments in Savannah. And it's just one thing after another that's going on, and so we need to pray. And I said to somebody the other day, I said we need to pray for them. I said we do, and we need to throw them in jail and then pray for them. And you break the law, you used to go to jail. That's used to be the way it was, and so that's not the message. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I could park there for quite a little while. 1 Peter chapter number 1. So in the chaos, right, of course, you know, 2020 is going to be defined as the year of chaos. It's going to be defined as the year of confusion. It's going to be defined as an unprecedented year. There's no doubt about it. People are going to remember 2020 for a long time. But, you know, that's not just 2020. Life goes on. No matter what's going on in other places, or what's going on in other people's lives, life goes on with you as an individual and in your family, and the struggles that that you have that are going on. Here's the fear, and I'm just going to say this, and then we'll hear to 1 Peter. Here's the fear we get sometimes, and I think this is what happens often. We get to the place in our lives where we think, and I'm talking about Christians, okay? I'm talking about the church. We get to the place where we say, well, what really doesn't matter? It doesn't affect me. We said this at yesterday. We live in like the corner of the world. We live in this bubble in Rankin and in Effingham County, which by and by, super thankful for, okay? Just to let you know, I'm glad I'm not living amongst so much nonsense. But here's the fear. The fear is that we live away from that, so it's out of sight, out of mind, so it doesn't affect me, so it doesn't matter. Let me tell you something. It does matter. Because the things that are happening
next week, starting next Sunday, I'm gonna preach a series of messages on Sunday on the slippery slope that we're living on in our country today. And if we're not careful, we're going to slide to a place. And I want you to know something. Just because it's not affecting us now doesn't mean it's not going to affect us later. And so, you know, decisions that are being made in other parts of the country are coming to a city near you. Did you ever remember this? I remember when I was growing up, I always say to myself, okay, all the bad things happen in New York City, in Chicago, in, you know, the big cities, right? All those, you know, murders and all those things that went on. Of course, when I was a kid, you know, there wasn't social media and all this stuff wasn't so prevalent. You didn't hear about it as much. But you always thought it was just so far away. It's not so far away anymore. And I'm telling you something about history. If you know anything about history, history always repeats itself. Always. Oh, it always has. It's always going to. And so as we make these decisions, I'm knocking these things over. As we make decisions in other parts of the country, they are, if not affecting us now, they will affect us sooner or later. So we better start caring. We better start standing up in unity as Christians. One of the reasons we had that prayer meeting yesterday was because Franklin Graham, with Samaritan's Purse, went to Washington and with a bunch of other churches. I don't believe like Frank. Listen to me. It's about prayer, folks. Our country needs prayer, and God's people are the ones that are going to do it. You can't expect the lost to pray. It's God's people that have got to pray, and so we've got to keep these things in our mind. But here's the other fear, okay? So the one fear is ignore it. Don't worry about it because it's not around me. It's not in my life. Here's the other fear. All I do is think about it, and boy, and it makes me afraid, and it makes me have anxiety, and it makes me. That's the other side of it. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. So we've got to have balance. Isn't that what life's all about? That's what God says of His people, that we must be people of balance, because God is a God of balance. So amidst the chaos, what do we do? What do we do as individuals? How do we live our lives? I want you to know something. God doesn't leave us in the dark. God lets us know how we're supposed to live our lives. God lets us know how we should walk and how we should talk. It's not a matter of guessing. It's not a matter of not knowing. It's not a matter of being ignorant. If you're ignorant, it's because you choose to be ignorant. We have God's Word. And God's Word tells us this is how we should live. This is how we should walk. This is how we should be. This is how our testimony ought to be as Christians. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 13. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your own ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy. One of the things that we love to do, and we tend to do it, all of us tend to do it, is we love to compare ourselves to ourselves. We love to compare ourselves to other people. You know, I don't have, you know, we look at somebody that has a lot of money and we say, we don't have any money. Now, listen to me. Compared to Bill Gates, you're broke. Yeah, compared to Donald Trump, you're broke. I promise you. I mean, doesn't it matter who you compare yourself to? Now, if you compare yourself to the homeless man, you're a rich person. You got plenty of money. Well, I'm far from rich. It depends on who you compare yourself to, right? You see, the thing is true spiritually. See, if you compare yourself to somebody that's very spiritual, you lack. You lack. But if you compare yourself to somebody who you know is in the pit spiritually, then you look like a very spiritual individual. You look like you've got yourself put together. So what do? We like to compare ourselves to ourselves, but we either compare ourselves to somebody that is equal to us or somebody that is less than us. So we're certainly not going to compare ourselves to somebody who's better than us because that makes us feel bad. And we don't want to feel bad. See, we have in our mind as individuals, as Christians, so when we come to church, preacher, make me feel better. That's what we have in our mind. Make me feel better. I want you to know one of the jobs of a preacher, let me tell you one of the jobs of a preacher is to stomp on your feet. Your bare feet. It hurts. You know why? Because he's preaching, thus saith the Lord. And by the way, when he preaches, thus saith the Lord, the Spirit then works, and it is the Spirit that brings conviction, not the preacher. So it's not a matter of how you feel, because how many of us can testify, some days I feel good, sometimes I feel terrible. And sometimes physically and sometimes emotionally. There are days, has there ever been a day in your life where you woke up on Sunday and said, I'd just rather stay in bed? Anybody want to admit to that? Bless you, a whole bunch of liars. I mean, every once in a while, I mean, you thought maybe on Saturday night, you think to yourself, church is tomorrow. I'm not saying you feel that way all the time. I'm just saying from time to time. Maybe you had a hard weekend. Maybe you don't feel good. I've said to Wendy on multiple occasions the Sunday morning, just joking around, I said, do I have to go to church this morning? She said, no, you're the preacher. You got to be there. And of course, we joke around about that. But, you know, we don't have to go to church. We get to go to church. There are plenty of places. And by the way, you don't have to go overseas to find them anymore. There are plenty of places, by the way, that are still not open. Still closed. Can't go to church. And praise the Lord for doors that are open that we can come and gather together. Now, praise the Lord that we recorded. If you need to stay home, praise the Lord for that. You'll be able to watch it from your house. I'm thankful for the technology that we have. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm glad. You know, the Bible says that we ought to be glad to say that we are in the house of the Lord. And by the way, Monday when you get up, you ought to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Lord, you said, make Sunday. And make Monday too. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. And be glad in it. Sometimes we ain't glad. Matter of fact, sometimes we're mad. And sometimes we don't even know what we're mad at. You ever been there? No, raise your hand. Yeah, I mean, you just... Today, I'm mad at the world. I don't even know why I'm mad at the world. I'm just mad at the world today. Listen to me. That's emotion. Up. Down. Up. Do you know woman? Emotions, right? Some men too, by the way. I'm not picking on women. I'm just saying. Emotions, they go up and they go down. And that's the nature of being a human being. It's not a negative thing. It's just the nature of being a human being. But if you live off of your emotions, you're going to find yourself in trouble. You really are. Because those days that you're laying in bed Sunday morning and you're thinking to yourself, man, I just don't want to roll out of bed. And you roll out of bed and you get a shower and you get dressed and you come to church. If this ever happened to you, and you're so glad you came to church. I mean, you just, praise the Lord, I decided to come to church. Maybe you didn't feel good. Now, by the way, we're living today. If you don't feel good, stay home, okay? But maybe you just, because you can't even have allergies anymore. I mean, if you have allergies, people look at you like, you know, you got the death. And so you kind of, I'm not sure, you come and you're like, praise the Lord, I came to church today. Well, the Lord spoke to my heart today, and I want you to know this. The Lord can speak to your heart wherever you are, right? I mean, we understand that. The Lord can speak to your heart on the car drive, on the car ride over here. The Lord can speak to your heart at your house. The Lord can speak to your heart at work. I understand that. But there's something about being in the house of God and God speaking to us, and I don't want to miss it. And so I don't want to make my decisions on how I feel. Because often when I make my decisions on how I feel, it's a bad decision. Anybody ever been there, made a bad decision that you regretted? Boy, I'm telling you right now. And sometimes that regret's quick and it's over, and sometimes that regret is for a very long time that we have to live with. And so what do we do? What do we do with ourselves? I just jotted down a few things to think about when it comes to our everyday life. What do we do with our everyday life? With chaos going around us, sickness going around us, people acting foolish going around us, what do we do as individuals? Sometimes we're so fixated on other people that we forget to look in the mirror. Sometimes we're so fixated on what somebody else should be doing that we forget what we should be doing. And I want you to know something. When you get to heaven one day, you're not going to have to answer for me. You're not going to have to answer for my decisions. Now, in a way, because I'm a pastor, I am going to have to answer for my congregation, but I'm not going to have to answer for you individually. You have to answer for you, and I have to answer for me. So the decisions that I make not only affect my life, but they affect the lives of the people around me, and one day I'm going to answer for those decisions that I've made. So what do we need to do? We need to make good decisions. Doesn't that make sense? We just need to start making good decisions regardless of what other people are doing. Hey, you go into a restaurant. And you sit down, if you're going to restaurants, and you sit down in a restaurant, and everybody kind of looks at you. You ever been in a different state or a different place? And you go, when we go somewhere, I hate going to chain restaurants. If I'm going on vacation or if I'm going somewhere, I'm not going to Olive Garden. I can go to Olive Garden here. I want to go to a local place. So I find the local place and eat at that, and I'm always thankful that I do. But if you ever do that, if you've ever been there, and you walk in, you're not local, and they know you're not local, because, you know, the next three people, they call by name. Hey, Dan, come on in. Hey, Susie, come on in, sit down. And you walk in, and they're like keeping their eye on you, like one hand in the pocket, you know, making you a serial killer or something, and then you just, and you look at, and you think to yourself, okay, when food gets here, we're going to pray. And we're going to pray out loud. And I don't care how many people look at us. We went to a Thai restaurant. I don't know if you like Thai, but man, I'm telling you, it's talking about good food. Went to a Thai restaurant way up in Louisiana. And we sat down, and our food came. There was hardly anybody there. And, man, this food was delicious. It looked like a bird's nest. It's like that big. It was scooped like a bird's nest, and it was that crunchy ramen stuff, and then all the food was inside it. Oh my goodness. I would drive back up there just to eat that food. It was so delicious. And so it came out, and we prayed, and there was two people sitting in front of us. And by the way, when I pray, I don't say, Lord, I pray. You know, they talk loud. I'm allowed to talk loud. I'm just not going to be embarrassed about it. And so I pray for our food, and the couple that was in front of us, it was a middle-aged couple, they turned. She jerk your chair around. I thought, here we go. I'm about fixing to get it, right? From this lady. And I'm good. You know, I always have to think to myself, okay, be nice, be nice, be nice. And so I'm thinking to myself, be nice. And she was around and she said, I'm telling you something, that food looks delicious. And we could barely finish our food because we talked the entire time, that couple. I mean, I thought they were going to come sit with us. We just kept talking back and forth. When we first came in, they looked at us like, you know, what are you doing here? You're not from this area. And so sometimes you go into a place and people look at you weird. Sometimes you pray out loud and people look at you weird. Sometimes you do the right thing, hold the door for somebody. Listen to me, I've held the door for people and they gave me a dirty look. Shut the door on them, I'm halfway out, you know what I mean? Just shut them behind. You go to pick up something for somebody and they look at you like you got ulterior motives. And so there's that in this world, but you can't be deterred by other people. I determined this, listen to me, I determined this years ago in my ministry. I am never going to let somebody else determine where I'm going to worship. If God's called you to a place, don't let somebody else determine. And you say, oh, no. You know how many people are somewhere else because of other people? They've allowed somebody else to bother them so much that they left and went somewhere else. I remember, like yesterday, I sat down with somebody and we had a disagreement. Pretty good-sized disagreement, by the way. And called and said, look, we need to sit down, we need to talk about this. Sat down in my office and looked at each other and said, look, we got to get this solved because you're not going anywhere and I'm not going anywhere. Let's get it solved. And got it solved. And got it settled. Listen, you got to determine, I'm going to do right no matter what everybody else does. I'm going to do what God says no matter if anybody else does. If nobody else stands with me, I'll stand alone. We've got to make that determination. So what do we need to do? Number one, we need to dedicate ourselves to love the Lord. We need to dedicate ourselves to love the Lord. Love the Lord thy God. That's used in several of the Gospels. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, with all thy mind. You ought to love God with everything you have. God ought to be first in your life. You ought to get the preeminence in your life. And you need to determine, no matter what might happen, no matter what might come, I'm going to love the Lord. And you think that's an easy thing, right? That's an easy thing, just to love the Lord. But you know how many people get mad at God because something bad happens in their life? You know how many people walk away from the church or walk away from the Bible or walk away from God just because something uncomfortable happens in their life? We're just going through a series of messages on why bad things happen to good people. Do they happen? Sure they do. Uncomfortable things happen. Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Christians get sick. Christians die. By the way, there's only one way to get to heaven outside the rapture. You got to die to get there. Of course, through Jesus Christ, I mean, you got to be saved and born again. But the only way to get there is either through the rapture of the church, which hasn't happened yet, by the way, or through death. So it looks like death is a bad thing, but death is not a bad thing. Death is just a transition from this life to the next. Now, certainly death is a bad thing for those that are not saved. Those that know not Christ as their personal Savior, death is a very bad thing. Because when we pass from this life, we pass to the next. And there's only two places to go, heaven and hell. That's it. And the only way to get to heaven is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, to have your sins forgiven. Well, I'm telling you, if you don't love God for anything else, then love God for saving your soul. I mean, man, if we don't have any other reason to love Him, then love Him because He saved you. Dedicate yourself. Decide. I'm gonna make this dedication. I'm gonna love God with everything I have, with everything that I am. We talk a big talk, church. But we don't always walk that talk. We don't always walk that talk. I mean, we talk about how much we love God, but you look at the average checkbook. You can really determine how much somebody loves something by looking at their checkbook. Let me tell you something. You can really tell how much I love my daughter by looking at my checkbook. She's at college. Right? I mean, you can. Now, I know checks are old-fashioned. You know what I'm talking about, though. And you can really determine how much somebody loves somebody by how much time they spend with them. Is that true? Sure it is. Well, if I love somebody, I want to spend time with them. I, as much time as I possibly can with them. And yet, we don't pray, and we don't go to church, and we don't read our Bibles, and it's unbelievable, but we jump up and down and talk about how much we love God. If you love me, what does Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. Dedicate yourself. Dedicate yourself to love the Lord. You got to do it. Number two, determine yourself to glorify God. Determine yourself. Not dedicate yourself to love God, but determine yourself to glorify God. I'm going to determine in my life that the things that I do and the things that come out of my mouth will be pleasing in His sight. Would that change some things? Oh my, would it ever. Would it ever. The things that that are about to come out of your mouth, are they glorifying God? Because if they're not glorifying God, then put a zip on your lip and lock it. Because it ought to glorify God. Your words ought to glorify God. The way you yelled at that waitress, did that glorify God? I'm telling you, I've heard them. And I've heard Christians. I know waitresses that have told me, I hate working on Sunday. And this is what I tell them. I say, yeah, because you don't get to go to church. Oh, no. I hate working on Sunday because I have to deal with Christians. Now, I'm not talking about up where I live. I'm talking about down here. That's a shame, church. That's a shame. And the way you talk to people in the store, or the way you treat people. By the way, your own family members. Your own brothers and sisters in Christ. Is that glorifying the Lord? If we would think this way. Listen to me. If we would think this way, it would stop us from doing a lot of dumb things. Really would. And is what I'm about to do going to glorify the Lord? Listen, if you can go in and rob a store at gunpoint and glorify the Lord, then go for it. You're going to go to jail and glorify the Lord there, but how do you go and deface property and spray paint things and catch things on fire and be pleasing the Lord? You're not pleasing the Lord by breaking the law. So this is the bottom line. Now listen to me, there are times, and I promise you, it's coming and it's already here to a certain point. There's sometimes if that law is against the Word of God, you're going to have to break it. But if the law isn't against the Word of God, then what are you breaking the law for? Why are you going? You know, when you remind me all the time, I am terrible in the car. That's one of my nemesis. I mean, nobody knows how to drive. It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy thinking about it. Just thinking about it gives me anxiety. I mean, I just can't stay a beat of the car. She wanted to go to Savannah. Well, I'm telling you, I'm about to take a bullet and go to Savannah. So we need to go down to Savannah. So we go down to Savannah. I'm telling you, they come out of the woodwork. They're everywhere. What are you talking about? I'm talking about people in order to drive. I don't know how people get from A to B. Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about because you may be that person. I don't know. I'm just telling you, it just drives me crazy. People don't use their blinkers. They cut people off. I mean, the whole nine yards, right? And so it absolutely brings me anxiety when I get in the car. And sometimes when you're running, listen, man, you can't run up on that guy like that. What if he's a church member? Well, then I'm really going to run up on him. I'm going to get alongside him and tell him to roll down his window and pull over. Got a message for him. No, you can't act like that. You can't yell and scream at people. I mean, you can't act the way, go, you know why? Because it's not glorifying to the Lord. Hey, God's people, listen, if you're a born-again Christian, your life ought to be glorifying the Lord. I tell you, often it's not. Often it's not, and we ought to be ashamed. Determine yourself to glorify the Lord. Romans chapter number 15 talks about your lips. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Peter chapter 4 talks about your life. Your lips and your life glorifying the Lord. Dedicate yourself to love the Lord. Number two, determine yourself to glorify God. Number three, draw yourself close to the Lord. draw yourself closer. What does James say? James says this, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. It ought to be our desire to be as close to the Lord as possible in our life. But this is what we like to do. Your glasses are so dirty you can't see out of them. This is what we like to do. We like to get as close as we can to the world, but still have footing with God. We get up way, 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 way close to the edge. But I want you to know, the closer you get to the edge, the better chance you have of falling over the edge. You ever been on a balance beam? You ever watched the Olympics? You ever watched the gymnastics? You ever watched those girls bouncing on that balance beam? You think that balance beam is as wide as this thing until you get on one. I mean, I can't even stand on it. I fall over standing on the thing. And it's just absolutely narrow. And you have a good chance, better than good chance, of falling off that thing. You know what I want? If I'm gonna cross a gorge, I want a pretty good sized bridge. Man, I don't want a fallen tree, you know, and I'm gonna balance myself over this gorge that's, you know, 250 feet deep. No, thank you. I want a bridge, and I want a bridge that has sides on it, so I have a good chance of making it to the other side. When we went to Ecuador, I've told you this before. We went to Ecuador, and there's no guardrails in Ecuador. They do not believe in guardrails, and you know, the roads are pretty good roads. They have pretty good roads. But literally, it's like a 3,000-foot drop on both sides of the road. And they're driving, and they're passing each other on corners, and, I mean, just beeping their horn, and then I'm thinking to myself, death is just over the edge. Well, Will says, y'all want to go for a ride? The answer to that is no, by the way. I just didn't know that. And so I said, sure, let's go. And so we get in the truck, and he's got obviously a four-wheel drive, this truck, this super-duper truck, and starts going up. We're already at 10,000 feet above sea level. So he drives and drives and drives. We're now like 12,000 feet above sea level. By the way, if you've never been up there and you're looking out, and sometimes you can see the clouds below you, that's how high you are up. So we're up there, and he says, okay, we're going to get out here. Well, if you've ever been at that high sea level, you walk from here to there, and you're like, you know, you can't hardly breathe. There's less oxygen. Plus, when you're out of shape, it doesn't help. But anyways, we walk up this mountain, right? And it goes up, and it kind of flattens out. And I'm telling you, you talk about a view, pictures just can't do it justice. So we get up there, and I'm good here. Edge, Terry Allen, that's the edge over there. I'm good here. I can see the view very fine from here, okay? So Anna, she decides, she gets up there. I don't even see her. She comes burning past me and goes, oh, Dad, look! I'm thinking to myself, okay, if you go over, I'm going to have to jump after you. I can't come home without you. Wendy would kill me, okay? And so you go over. I have to go over. Anna, come over here. Will and Laura, funny. I mean, they just think it's the funniest thing ever, watching this whole scenario going down. So I made Anna come over to at least halfway where I was. And this is why. The closer you get to the edge, the better chance you have of falling. Can a Christian fall? Sure he can. You're not immune. You're not immune to falling spiritually. And by the way, many people, you know them. They used to sit in the pews right here at Lincoln Baptist Temple. And many of them are not in church. Many of them are not reading their Bibles, and they're not praying, and they're not doing anything spiritually in their life anymore. They walked away from it all. Why? Because they got too close to the edge. And if you get too close to the edge, I promise you, you get too close to the edge, you're going to end up falling. So what do you need to do? Get away from the edge and draw nigh to God. When you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Let me tell you where you're safe. You're safe in the arms of Jesus. That's where you're safe. You see, we got back in the truck. When we got back in the truck, I said, Will, how are we getting back down? You're not driving in reverse. I will walk back down before you do that. And I'm talking about the road, and I'm not joking. The road is about as wide as this aisle right here. And we're in a truck. And there's a mountain here on this road, and there's a forever drop. You have time to write your last will and testament before you hit over here. So he says, no problem. We're going to go up, and there's a place to turn around. I said, praise the Lord. So we started driving up. Well, the lane got narrower because at the top, a man lived. He lived there in this, like, cave dwelling, and he drove a motorcycle because everybody drives motorcycles if they can't afford cars. So he drove motorcycles. So we get to the top of this thing, and this guy has a yard. 12,500 feet up, he's got a yard as big as a postage stamp. You ever seen a postage stamp? That's how big his yard was. Where are you going to turn around now? It's dead end. Well, this is where we're going to turn around. He pulls up, does a 67-point turn. He comes, and here's the mountain. Here's the truck. I'm sitting in the back seat. The kids are sitting behind me, his kids, and then the back of the truck. The back of the truck is off the mountain. Here's the truck. He's backing up. I said, Will, if you go any further, we're going off the mountain. I'm not a nervous kind of person, but I'm going, you're going to go over. Get closer to the house. He said, I got it. We're turning it up. We're doing it. I said, we're going to go. So here I am. You know what I was doing? I was drawing very, very close to Will and Laura in the front seat. I don't know why. I mean, if the truck went over, all of us were going with it, right? So we turn around and we come back down the mountain, and we're coming back down the mountain. And listen to me. I'm not joking you. Road, here comes a truck. Mountain, forever drop. What are you going to do now, Will? Oh, we'll pass each other. No, you won't. He says, listen, here we go. He said, it's going to be okay, I promise. This is what I told him. Will, you take the mountainside, or I'm dropping your support. I was serious, RJ. And he knew it. I said, if you go to that side, here comes this guy. His two wheels are off the side of the mountain. And we're going down the side of the mountain. Draw closer to the safe side. What is the safe side? Listen to me. The safe side's God. That's where you need to draw closer to. Because if you draw closer to the world, sooner or later you're going to fall. You know why buses don't go up there anymore? Why in the world a bus would go up there is beyond me. You know why a bus doesn't go up there anymore? Fell off the mountain. The whole bus, everybody in it died. Off the side of the mountain. Nice. Y'all are crazy around here. Y'all are nuts. Why are we going to, don't ever take me up here again. Never. So draw closer to the safe side. And if you don't draw close to God, let me tell you something. What's going to happen is you're going to drift towards the world. And I want you to know that's what Christians are doing. I want you to know that's what churches are doing. Churches are looking more like the world than ever before. That's absolutely crazy to me. It's absolutely nuts to me anymore. Draw closer to God. Let me give you the last one. Dedicate yourself to love the Lord. Determine yourself to glorify the Lord. Draw yourself close to the Lord. James chapter 4, 4 through 8. And then dwell on right things. Dwell on right things. Listen, I want you to hear these verses. You've heard them before, but I just love these verses. In the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter number 4. I know you're familiar with them. But I'm telling you, what Christians need to start doing is start thinking on things, on right things. Listen to what he says, verse number 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know when I find myself in trouble making bad decisions is when I think on things that are wrong. Think on things that are unholy and ungodly. When I think on things that are worldly. When I begin to think on those things, I begin to make bad decisions. I begin to do dumb things. I begin to think about me, myself, and I. When I think on those things. But no, when I think on things that are lovely and think on things that are true and think on things that are of a good report, when I begin to have the mind of Christ. You know what Paul told the Philippian believers? He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You need to think on things that Christ would think on. Start dwelling on things that are going to last forever. Some things are temporal. They're here for a little time and then they're gone. Right? It's your kids grow up. They're only little once. That's the way it is. I tell young couples all the time, enjoy it. Enjoy it now because you'll blink and they'll be adults. I mean, I'm telling you, people used to tell me that and I used to think to myself, that fool don't know what he's talking about. She's exaggerating. I'm telling you, they are not. I mean, poof, and it's over. But things don't last forever. You know, some things you get, you get a vehicle, and it doesn't last forever. You get this body. It doesn't last forever. I told somebody the other day, they said, I just don't understand why my legs are hurting me. Listen to me. Your legs are hurting you because you're 90-something years old. Your doctor tells me, and they get a new doctor. I don't know what he's talking about. No, listen. Your body's not meant to be here forever. Not in this body. Why do you think we get new bodies? You know the Bible says in the book of Revelation that God makes all things what? Isn't that a good thing? I mean, we're gonna dwell on this earth. It's going to be new. We're going to have bodies, but they're going to be new. Why? Because they wear out. They wear out. We get new knees and new shoulders and new hips, and I mean, we get all these things that we got to have to be able to get around. Why? Because just like car parts, they wear out. Things don't last forever. But let me tell you something. Some things do last forever. Some things do last forever. And we need to be thinking on those things. We need to be thinking on the love of God. We need to be thinking on evangelism. We need to be thinking on prayer. We need to be thinking on the Word of God. Spend some time dwelling on God and His Word. That's what's going to make a difference. That's what's going to change your life. We were just talking about this, Wendy and I, just the other day, and we were talking about, before I got saved, just an absolute train wreck that I was. And I don't have Facebook. What is it? Somebody said, "What? Don't you want to keep up with your friends?" No. None of my previous friends do I want to keep up with. Okay. And so, and I was thinking about that the other day. Me and Wendy were talking about it. I'm thinking, some are in jail. Some of them are. She showed me a picture of a girl that I grew up with. I went to high school with, and bless her heart, used to be a beautiful girl. She is just absolutely looks strung herself out on drugs and alcohol and just terrible. It's terrible. Some of them have died early deaths. You think back and you think, man, but for the grace of God, there go I. That could have been me. and God's been so good to me, and God sent me Lindy, and God gave me His Word, and God gave me people in my life that made a difference in my life, and of course, He saved my soul and made all the difference. And listen, those are the things I want to think on. Those are the things that you want to think on. Oh, God, can't we say this? I mean, if we were honest with ourselves, we'd have to be able to say, God is good, and He's good all the time. God's been good to me. I mean, have I had rough spots? Sure, just like you. We've all had rough spots. We've all had difficult times, and some more than others. Some have had their share. It seems like some have had their share and other people's share, too. But I'm telling you, if you think on the right things, if you dwell on the right things, you have no choice as a child of God to realize that God has been good to you. He's blessed you. I mean, you think like that. Let me tell you what the result is. You know what the result is? The result is thanks. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. I want to thank Him. You know what I want to do tomorrow? I want to thank Him. What I do the next day? I'm not saying I do that all the time because I fail just like you do. But I'm going to tell you something. When I'm thinking in the right direction, and when I'm thinking on the things that God tells me to think on, it moves me to thanksgiving. Thankful for my family, thankful for God, thankful for my church, thankful for the Word of God. And you know what I begin to dwell on the things that God has done for me, and I often forget all the difficult things, all the bad things, because I'm dwelling on the right things. But don't you know that the opposite is true? When you begin to think about the things that are difficult in your life, the things that are not fair, guess what? Life's not fair. Somebody tells you life's fair, they're lying to you. It's not fair. And there are things happen that aren't fair. And then you begin to think to yourself, man, I just didn't get the things I should have got. Well, my parents didn't do this, and my parents didn't do that. You got people, my parents spanked me too much, my parents didn't spank me enough, and it's just like parents can't do right. But I want you to know something. You start dwelling on those things, and you're going to sink, just like quicksand. And pretty soon, guess what happens to quicksand? It goes over your head. Now, God can save you from it. Don't misunderstand me. But if you get your mind off the things of the world and start thinking on things that are lovely and true and of a good report and start thinking on those things, it'll make a difference in your life. And I've noticed this much. Have you noticed this? When God begins to make a difference in my life, it begins to make a difference in other people's lives. You ever notice that? And boy, you start being a witness to somebody and somebody is helped because you're a witness to them. Or you start trying to encourage somebody else and they're encouraged because you were an encouragement to them. Why did that happen? That happened because God blessed you. And because God has blessed you, it is your desire to be a blessing to somebody else, to be a help to somebody else. So determine, dedicate, draw. We got to do all these things on purpose. And we do all these things on purpose, God will bless us every single time. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We got to determine in our lives that we're going to live a certain way. For sure, if you'll come and play this morning, we had a hymn invitation this morning, and you don't have to determine. You know, that's what salvation's all about, isn't it? You don't have to determine. If you're going to be saved, it's because you choose to be saved. You place your faith and trust in Jesus.